mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle dispute for many peoples. They will bear their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, and is taken from the New International Version. The day is near, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in caressing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
And this reading is from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it is in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And as we invite Andrew up to talk to us, we pray for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the word that you've given Andrew this week and the coming weeks. And we ask that our eyes, ears, and our hearts and souls be open to the words you've given him. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Happy New Year, or should I say, Happy New Church Year. I don't know if you realise that the readings we have are divided into three sections, three years, and this is the start of the church year, basically. And this year is year A, and we're looking at the Matthew's Gospel. Next year will be Mark, and the following year will be Luke. And each one has a bit of a different slant. The definition of the word Advent is the arrival of a notable thing or person. At the moment, most of the country are thinking about celebrating the arrival of Christmas with family and friends, the buying of presents, and the overfilling of the larder. Children are looking forward to enjoying their Advent chocolates and their calendars, and counting the days down to new toys. In the last few weeks, both John Pitts and Ian McCullum have spoken about the second coming of Jesus and what that means. Traditionally, Advent has been used as a time of fasting and prayer, not dissimilar to Lent. And you'll remember that before Jesus, the start of Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist was in the desert, preparing people, praying the Jews, calling them to repent and be baptized. This morning, I want to look at some of the things that the Bible tells us we need to do in preparation. And I've entitled my talk, Steady As We Go. Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah has his vision, and it contains some well-known words. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation would not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. But the words I want you to really remember and focus on is from verse 3. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. There are a few teachers here, and they will know that students need to have a willingness to learn. To be walking, by definition, we have to have at least one foot on the ground. If we are too heavenly, we are no earthly use. Our faith journey is not marching on the spot, but a long journey of progression. Walking involves keeping on, covering the ground steadily and rhythmically, staying in touch with the world. Walking is a metaphor for discipleship. Discipleship is learning how to emulate. At school, I did geography A-level, and we had two masters doing different aspects of the subject. And one of them would often set us some work to do, like trying to make some notes out of whatever we were doing. And then he would disappear, allegedly to go to the staff common room and read his newspaper. But after a few minutes, what we actually did was just chat. Just what kids do, isn't it? So when Humphrey returned, he was often disappointed in a lack of progress. Similarly, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is saying, the master is coming. Your lives are not ready. Wake up from your slumber. Paul had only just reminded them in the preceding verses of some of the commandments, including, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet. And the laws are summed up as to love your neighbour as yourselves, and that love is the fulfilment of the law. In verse 12 of that reading from Romans, he tells them to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Well, what is the armour of light? If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Light is something that is seen and not something that is hidden. In verse 13, Paul tells Romans to behave decently, not getting drunk, not dissenting, not being jealous. But it's a very key instruction in verse 14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some translations say, put on the Lord Jesus. Like in a play, one might put on a costume or character. We are to put on the character of Christ. In other words, how we think, how we behave. It's also a form of identification, like when you first put on your new school uniform, or for the first time you pulled on your school's first team's rugby shirt. You felt different, you felt special, you felt a part of something. Now, Paul tells at the end of his letter to the Philippians, he wrote, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. whilst Peter in chapter 4 of his first letter wrote, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can each pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. So in all things, God may be praised." The reading from Matthew is a stern reminder. We don't know when Jesus will return, so we must be ready. If you go on a long car journey, you have to check periodically that you're on the right road. Also that you have enough petrol or diesel to get to the end of your journey. I hope no one here has succumbed to some of the behavioural traps that Paul highlighted. But we may need to wake up. Have we succumbed to false spiritual comfort? Are we just from worldly happiness? Can we say we have fought the good fight? Do we know that God in the form of the Holy Spirit dwells within us? Is our faith visible in our character to others? Have we lost some of the hunger to have a closer relationship with God? Are we not meeting with other Christians as much as we used to? How good are we at organising our time so we can read the Bible regularly and to spend time in prayer? How much have we put on the cloak of Jesus? Are we loving? Are we forgiving? Are we gracious in the way we speak to others and deal with criticism? Do we have a generous spirit in using our gifts and serving others? Are we the same when no one is watching? The first candle that Tim lit on the Advent wreath is one of hope. The verse from Thessalonians that I quoted a few moments ago refers to the hope of salvation. Salvation is being saved, and we are saved when we become a believer of Jesus. At that point, we are made righteous and become justified, but we are called to pursue holiness, sanctification, to be like a saint, is a lifelong process of growing in righteousness, requiring us to put on and keep putting Christ on. The hope we have is far more than going to heaven when we die and meeting loved ones. It is knowing Jesus more and more now. It is for our lives to have an unimagined richness of inner peace, of purpose, of joy in sharing the good news and drawing others towards Jesus throughout the ups and downs of life. That is why we need to keep on keeping on, steady as we go. And that is my prayer for us all. Amen.